God wants to be able to answer our prayers in the affirmative. We're going to look at why that would be so, both now and in the seminar as well. But let's take a look at another portion of Scripture. Let's go to the classic passage of our Lord's teaching, and that's Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And by the way, while you're turning there, what's this got to do with missions conference? Everything. Looking at your objectives this afternoon for this missions conference, if we pray well, and it won't happen overnight, okay? We're not going to fix it this afternoon, okay, if it needs fixing. Maybe it doesn't need fixing. I don't know. If it doesn't need fixing, maybe this will just encourage you. But in most of us, it somewhere, somehow, it needs a little fixing. It's still true in my own life, okay? Sorry, I got a mic on here. But it has everything to do. As I looked at those four basic objectives, if we pray well and consistently, it will move you forward in every one of those objectives, not just during this missions conference, but until the Lord comes back. So this is at the very core. This is why missionaries send prayer letters. Okay, now, granted, prayer letters, by the way, just a little heads up from a missionary perspective, prayer letters are really newsletters, and we call them prayer letters. Now, let me explain why I say that. Okay, because prayer letters are public. Put yourself in the place of a missionary. Okay, a lot of times we tend to think because they're out there, they're isolated from us. Let me tell you something. Everything that I ever put in a prayer letter came back to me in Australia. Okay, and sometimes that can be really bad. Okay, so there's a lot that your missionaries can't tell you in a prayer letter, no matter how much they might want to, and no matter how much you might want them to do so, prayer letters are kind of limited because they are a very public thing. Okay, but this, why do the missionaries go to that much trouble? Because they know that they desperately need your prayers. Paul understood that. We can look at passage after passage. You could start with 1 Timothy chapter 2, where he says that God is not willing that any should perish and so forth, but that all should come to repentance and knowledge of the truth. And then he says there's one God and one mediator between man and God, man Christ Jesus. And then he says, I will therefore that men do what? Pray. Everywhere. Okay? So it relates that Paul constantly is giving his prayer request in his letters to the churches and so forth, and talking about how he prays for them. It's a two-way street, okay? So it is an integral part of accomplishing what God has given us to do globally, okay? And I hope that as we look at this, we'll see a little clearer how that actually works, rather than just saying, well, I know that's true. I'm not sure exactly why, but I know I can tell from the Bible it's true, but I think as we look at the Scriptures, we can also see how it's true. We can actually begin to see how it actually works, okay? And when that happens, you start to get a little more excited. And it's interesting, as you understand a little bit more about the process of prayer, then it becomes a lot easier to actually do it consistently, because it starts to get exciting. It starts to become not just a religious duty, not just doing your sort of Baptist rosary, okay? But it becomes an adventure with God. Okay? It becomes a life-transforming experience. Some of you already know probably some of that. Okay? And I hope that you'll learn more. I hope that some of what we look at here will be of help. Okay, so by now, surely you found Matthew chapter 6. Let's